Number three, the director's report. So with that, Director, I will turn the mic over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. To start this report, I want to make one comment. A couple of the folks this morning questioned the integrity of my staff. I couldn't disagree with you more. My staff are highly professional. They use the best methods that they're aware of. They're constantly updating their techniques with reviewing the best current science. And you may not agree with them, but they have no motivation to lie or be dishonest. And just, I flat disagree with you. Okay. First, I guess a legislative update. The regular session ended March 10th, and the legislature was not able to reach an agreement on budget. The governor did veto 27 bills, and one of our pieces of legislation was included in that set, and that was our legislation on record keeping of shellfish. And there's some talk amongst the legislature that they may do an override, a group, I guess, override of those vetoes. So we'll have to see what the legislature thinks about that. But they're still plugging away at budget. Last I heard, they're hopeful to have something by Friday. But we'll just have to wait and see. So not a whole lot to report on budget. But those are kind of the items I got from Raquel. Commissioner Wecker talked about North of Falcon. That was a good report. I can't give a lot of detail about what we did within our co-management meeting, but we've been started meetings around the state. We've provided the preseason estimates to sportsmen and the commercial industry here at the first of the month. We had our meeting at Lacey just Wednesday, I guess. And so we started this zero option. That's a starting point. That's not where we'll end up. You all have also heard maybe a zero option for the ocean. That's not where the seasons will end up. It's at this stage we're in kind of what I would describe as a zero-based budgeting exercise on fishery management. And so both the tribes and the state are working up from zero to determine what the structure of the fishery might look like. Even though Coho are in dire straits, I guess, this year, you might say, there will be some room for some take on hatchery fish and also on wild fish. And so how that will get calculated will work backwards from what the tribes need for UNA and their incidental take within commercial fisheries, and the state will do the same on our side. And so that's how the structure of the fisheries will be developed. And we'll try to balance that as we go. It's a little bit different tack than we've taken in the past, so we'll see how it works this year. It's a little bit of a modification. I have a couple items in your...
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Director, I have a question. Looking at the media reports on North of Falcon and the ocean fisheries, will hatchery releases be increased to compensate? It's a little bit hard for me to understand as I look at the media reports.
So they're kind of two separate things, but the hatchery production is something that's set in, I guess, in a different kind of process. And of course, it would take it's a 2 or 3 year response for our hatchery increased production to be realized in the returns. But yes, that's certainly part of the package. And in fact, in some of the fisheries where we've had real constraining fisheries over the last few years, we're working with the tribes to do some real production and also to try some new techniques. The example I'm talking about is Lake Washington, where we've had very poor smolt survival and difficulty just getting smolts out of hatcheries through the lake and then just out to the sound. So we're working with the tribe to try kinds of all sorts of new things. One of them is barging or moving fish through the sound to avoid smallmouth bass and cutthroat trout predation. on smolts. We're looking to increase the capacity of the sockeye hatchery in that system. We're also trying to maximize where we can the production of the Chinook and coho for that system. So yes, production is part of the whole program. And of course, that's all intertwined with our hatchery and genetic management issues that we have on hatcheries and how hatcheries are managed. The department over the last 10 years has made great strides in modifying how hatchery fish are produced with careful consideration of the genetic and population competition impacts of hatchery fish on wild fish. So in many systems, hatchery fish have actually been reduced, and their release placement has been reduced to try to compensate for some of these issues, some of the competition issues. And I think we're starting to get a good handle on the impacts of hatchery, and certainly we have an expert here on the commission. Conrad Macon has been working with that for years. So it's an area that I'm actually pretty proud of, how the department's come, and of course your policy on hatchery management and the policy that you've set on the statewide steelhead management plan and the Chinook plans. I think we're headed in the right direction. We've been thrown a curve starting last year and this year with ocean conditions. We've been here before. We've had low numbers before, and we've had to modify fisheries in the past. And so I do need to remind people that we have seen incredible successes in some of our fisheries. The Columbia River, Snake River stocks have been doing remarkable in the last 5, 6, 7 years. And we have fisheries now where we never had them just a few years ago. We've had recent, very good fisheries where we haven't had for many, many years. The other day at the North of Falcon meeting, I told the story of fishing for Chinook with my father in probably about 1968, and then the seasons in Idaho being closed for 30 years. And finally, I got to take my son fishing in the early 2000s for salmon again in Idaho, and he caught his first Chinook in Idaho. It was a proud day for me, but in that 30 years of time, the amazing amount of work that went into hatchery management and in increasing the survival over dams and all of the great science that's went through by fish and wildlife scientists to work on a problem and solve it gives me great amount of pride in their abilities. Same kinds of people that are working on wildlife issues.
Director, one more question.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to elucidate a little bit on what the director is saying is that the driver for harvest in Puget Sound through this North of Falcon process is the low expected return of coho to the Puget Sound region and to the coastal regions in the state of Washington and to a lesser degree in Oregon and even California. The coho is predicted to come in at a fraction of what it was even just last year. And, you know, with all the other environmental pressure on Puget Sound, the question has to be asked, why is the Puget Sound production, the stocks of fish in Puget Sound coming from hatcheries in a decline? And there are all kinds of environmental issues associated with it, not the least of which is the warm blob of warm water off the coast of Washington and its impact on ocean survival. Ocean survival is the largest driver of what we get back to our hatchery system and to our wild populations. And this is cyclic. We go through these types of cycles. We're hoping, of course, in this case, that cycle is not a permanent one at this point. We have endocrine disruptors in Puget Sound as a pollutant. We even can now measure things like cocaine and caffeine in the water, which affects water quality. And it goes on and on and on, and we don't know what the cumulative effect is on it. Our hatchery production remains constant. Ocean survival is really the driving aspect of the low returns on this coming year.
All right, thanks. So anyway, with that, that's kind of an update, and then I went off a little bit on a rabbit trail, but you have a few other items that I won't go on in your book, but I did want to first thank Jim Brown for hosting us again here in Moses Lake, and I've asked Jim to provide us a regional update while we're here, so in his neighborhood.
Thank you, Director. Chair, Commissioners, nice to see you again. Welcome back to Region 2. I'm just closing on my third year in this role now, and it's been quite a ride. I'm still learning every day, and I'm going to talk to you for a couple minutes here about some of the good things that have been occurring in Region 2 that might be of interest to you. These are examples are just a portion of the great work you could see occurring here any particular day. Last year, at the height of the drought, Rocky Ford Creek, not too far from here, was actually flooding due to subterranean flow infiltrating from a new irrigation project which was conveying additional water into Crab Creek to transport that water down into the lower portions of the Columbia Basin Irrigation Project. That subterranean connection was known, but we didn't know, once the water was turned on, what the effects would be. Well, one of the immediate problems that was identified is we have a contract with Trout Lodge Incorporated for a hatchery that operates on department land on Rocky Ford Creek. And they draw water from a spring that provides their quality water for that operation. And that thing turned into a big artesian situation and started flooding the hatchery and potentially was going to put them out of business there. We were able to mobilize our regional staff and camp personnel from the coast, funded by the Department of Ecology, for an emergency response there, and essentially divert that water away from that facility and move it further down Rocky Ford Creek. That's an ongoing problem that we have down there. We think we've got the hatchery situation solved, but the Bureau of Reclamation, Department of Ecology, are still trying to solve the increased water problem. We knew we were going to have more. That's, some of this is going to be the new normal, but we're going to have to make some modifications down there and other adjustments because of the habitat and access issues that's been created in the recreational fishery. Just was definitely very odd, though, to be in a drought situation like we were in, and actually be dealing with flooding. We continue to work with the Department of Ecology's Office of Columbia River on several other water improvement projects that are occurring in the region. This was funded by the legislature several years ago, and these efforts support finding solutions to better manage and store water for improved in-stream flows for fish, to reduce pressure on the Odessa aquifer that is declining, and at the same time provide for more reliable water for people. Several mitigation projects are ongoing to offset the impacts of new water enhancement projects, and our personnel are involved in those projects. We recently completed a pair of agreements for sturgeon mitigation, setting the juvenile fish stocking levels for the next 5 years in the Chelan and Grant PUD hydro project reservoirs on the Columbia River. Several agencies and tribes were involved in this process. It was science-based and incorporated population enhancement planning for future harvest needs. Cooperatively came up with a good plan for fish that will likely lead to future sustainable recreational fisheries in the face of what has been a continued low natural recruitment. The 2015 Okanagan Complex fires and recovery, as well as the ongoing recovery related to the 2014 Carlton Complex fires, continue to be a challenge to our operations. However, we are now able to show how our earlier forest management efforts on our wildlife areas were helpful in slowing and even stopping fires where those management actions had reduced the fuel loading. It's a stark example of how properly managed forest lands can benefit wildlife and help public safety at the same time. Several legislative tours have occurred on those lands to show the benefits, and future tours are scheduled. Our private lands personnel and field biologists are working with private landowners to protect habitat that's important for several species of concern, such as pygmy rabbits, sage grouse, sharp-tailed grouse, and now the fisher. Our fish and habitat programs continue to improve management of fish, engage community growth planning processes, sustain hatchery operations, and assist with habitat enhancement projects for bull trout, salmon, and steelhead. Much of the cutting-edge science research on life cycle modeling is coming from our science office right here in Region 2. Enforcement continues to work in providing first-rate service to citizens of the state in protecting our natural resources and enhancing public safety on lands and the waters in this region. They've added emphasis patrols in areas with unlawful off-road vehicle access problems, resulting in a notable reduction in habitat damage to those lands. We also have responsibility for over one-third of the agency-owned or otherwise managed public lands in the state. Our personnel work hard to improve habitat, provide increased recreational opportunities, improve ADA access, and have improved our management of noxious weeds, fences, day-use facilities, and are addressing other long-standing maintenance issues on those lands. I want to thank the Wildlife Program Assistant Director and his staff that have helped with continued prioritization and support for these needed improvements. On the operations front, that's kind of more my wheelhouse. We recently completed significant long-deferred maintenance to our office buildings, warehouses, and grounds in both Ephrata and Wenatchee. This has improved safety, utility, and outward appearance of those facilities, and it has preserved them for continued use into the future. I'm proud to work with our personnel in Region 2. They provide consistent public service on a daily basis, maintaining positive attitudes through the budget challenges, and even when much of our habitat was on fire in the last 2 years. I believe our people is what makes Region 2 a great place to work. Motivated employees with the right support will do good things for the resource, and our regional management team will continue to seek ways to make that happen. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. Have any questions?
Thank you. That was very informative.
Yes.
Mr. Holzmeier.
I guess a question and a comment. You were talking about the forestry end of the deal, and in our part of the world, he was talking about future management to lessen fire danger. We have some spots down there on the Grizzly Complex fire that was just textbook that if the forests were managed, how, you know, it depends upon the slope and aspects and blah, blah, blah. But given the right opportunity, that if you, in those managed areas, how a fire will set down, creep through it, give the firefighters an opportunity to at least fight it. And there again, there's spots that you can't. When things are bad, things are bad. Are you being able to salvage any of your timber?
We were actively pursuing a couple of salvage sales, and they fell through for a myriad of problems that weren't necessarily our fault. We were as on top of time-wise as we've ever been to try and get ahead of this before the wood blew. But we had winter conditions, you know, we need to basically log when the ground's hard, and the winter conditions thawed out beforehand. The OMAC mill went through some financial problems. They're up in the air again. They're still operating, but on a shoestring, and we could not get very many folks to even take a look at making a bid on the job. So it didn't happen.
I was just curious because that's what our mills got buried too. It was one of those you were either right up front and got it done, or yeah, there was a hole. But I was just curious on that.
Yeah, our forester was right on top of it, and the land staff through Clay Sprague, they were on it right away. But there's a lot of wood out there because of the fires, and you know, it's kind of like take a number. We don't have the mill capacity and the logging capacity that we used to have to be able to deal with that.
Thank you,
Mr. Kinney.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank you, Jim. And this last Saturday, our local Mule Deer Foundation chapter held a Mule Deer Summit up in Okanagan, and the staff that turned out from WDFW to give, you know, scientific discussions and papers, and it was just really good. You know, it brings the science into, you know, just people that like to hunt. To get an opportunity to hear that was really good. There was Woody Myers came and talked, Sarah Brown, Jeff Heinlein. A lot of great talks on local mule deer, the effects of different things happening. There was a speaker from Department of Transportation on the amount of deer that are being killed along the highway this year, which is amazing. After the fires, the number, usually the number is around 350 a year in a 12-mile stretch. This year they're looking to be at somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,200. Now, that's how the fires have affected the movements of deer. So it was just really good, and it was a Saturday, so a lot of people, I'm sure, from the department came on their day off, but that kind of effort goes a long ways, and it helps support everyone understanding, you know, what's going on with our wildlife populations.
Mr. Grable.
Just a comment. Region 2 has had some enormous issues with fires the last few years, and from what I observed, they not only dealt with those issues in terms of the threats to the loss of habitat, but also supporting the communities within those areas, and even provided some
thank you. Marketing funding to help recover some of these communities that suffered terrific economic devastation as well. And even in the face of these enormous issues, Jim mentioned Rocky Ford Creek earlier, which is an extremely popular fly fishing area. It's unique in that it remains ice-free year-round because it's spring-fed, so people from all over the state travel there in the winter to be able to fly fish. And there has been a bridge that has eroded and has been closed for the last few years, which seems like, you know, just a speck in the whole realm of things that they have to deal with. But they found funding, and this year that's going to be repaired. And there's just an enormous range of issues that they have to deal with, as all regional directors do. But I'm closest to this region, and I do my business in this region. And long before I was in this position, I found the staff and personnel to be extremely responsive to all my questions. And I'm sure they treat the general public in the same way. And I'm really, really proud of how this region conducts itself.
Thank you. I'll pass that on to staff.
You bet, Jim.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Jim. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Actually, I didn't have a question for you. I've heard wonderful things about what you've brought to this region, so kudos. But my
Thank
comments
you.
Were more, I just feel, I've been thinking, and I just feel like I have to say what my perception of the role of the commission is. In response to some of the comments that we hear from the public and the spirited defense of staff or director voiced a bit ago in response to some of the concerns, the criticisms of our staff, and particularly in relation to blue tongue and mortalities and the 4-point restriction, and there's certainly a lot of controversy about how we ought to set our deer seasons up in Northeast. But I wanted to at least go on the record saying that I think the commission is here to hear the public and to receive in a fair-minded, open-minded way the concerns the public brings to us. And while we do expect our director to defend staff, we need to also stay open-minded about addressing in a fair-minded way the concerns that the public brings to us. And you know, this issue of distrust of the department is a real barrier to being effective. And so I think we need to work with the public and accept what their concerns are, hear them out, in an open-minded way, and try to respond in a good way so that we can all work together. And I have questions myself about, you know, the way in which data is massaged or processed, is a better way to say it, the raw data turned into the interpreted conclusions, information. I have questions like Dale and Freddie and Al brought to us I want to hear the explanation myself, so I just felt it was necessary. I don't want you gentlemen to think that we are a wall of defense, an impenetrable wall of defense. We're here to keep the department accountable to the public.
Along those same lines, I was thinking, as you mentioned, from the Stevens County Wildlife Group, that you were possibly looking at, you know, getting reports of cougar incidents or whatever directly to the commission. And believe me, we don't mind taking calls. We get them all the time, and we listen. But it worried me a little, because if in the end the management of a species, any species, you know, comes through staff dealing with statistics and numbers, you know, I just worry that could get lost. You know, I'm not saying it's a bad approach. I'm not saying, but I do worry that in dealing with so many species, it's the harvest numbers are what's important, or the incident numbers, you know. And so I almost hate to go around the biologists and the staff folks that it's their charge to do that, and just lay it on a group of nine. You know, are we going to get that information back to staff to help them implement some of the suggestions and the ways that a species should be managed? I don't know. You know, maybe it's both. Maybe it's a little bit of working with all of us on the commission in you know, people calling us and emailing us. That's part of our world. But it's also part of the world of species management and wildlife management that folks that are responsible for taking care of those numbers know the numbers. So just wanted to mention that.
Yeah. And I agree that ultimately what we need to do is put staff in a better relationship with people. And it's not the job of the commission to deal with complaints, dangerous animal reports. That's clearly not our job. But if you want to use us as a way to report because you have more trust in us, then we would then come up with a way to make this very temporary and transition towards a situation in which you feel comfortable with staff. That would be the ultimate place we'd want to get to. But we're having a hard time getting there.
All right. I think we've... Any other comments down there? Thank you, Jim. Excellent regional report. Director, thank you.